You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 24th of January. Locker room harmony, the Dallas Mavericks, what's coming next, and points gained across the Western Conference leaders. It's all coming up on a Friday edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Give you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way more fun to be a Jazz fan each and every day. A few little quick notes for you today. We're home Saturday. It is a 3 o'clock start against the Dallas Mavericks. Tickets are on sale at utahjazz.com, so you can go grab that. They are having a Black History Month art contest that's kind of cool at utahjazz.com, so if you get a chance to stop by any of those. The other one I wanted to give you, if you haven't figured this out yet, your smart device can play the radio broadcast for you at home. All you have to do is tell your Google or your Alexa to play 1280 The Zone in Salt Lake City or 97.5 FM, and you can stream the games live. If you have the NBA League Pass, you can activate your TuneIn account and then use the Utah Jazz skill on Alexa as well. All right, I wanted to touch on a few things. There's a lot of talk, rightfully so. Ethan Strauss, who used to write for ESPN, now writes for The Athletic. Andy Larson in the Salt Lake Tribune about the Jazz locker room and the harmony. I thought Andy did a nice job on this. There's a few things. One, I cannot answer whether it's actually, you know, I've been with teams that don't like each other, so I've seen that. And I really cannot answer to the concept that it's purely unique. Like I don't have access to every other team. There's certainly a camaraderie and a group element to this that I think is super important. It's driven by, I think, a few items. One, and most importantly, I actually think it's driven by really hard work by everybody involved. I think that sometimes is forgotten. You know, oh, we just signed a bunch of great guys. No, these guys really have to work. Like, they're all a little different. They take the time. They put in the effort. They understand the importance of it. Donovan, as a third-year player who is just a unique soul, is able to become a star around these guys who let him be a star and don't get jealous of it. And Donovan, at the same time, does all the things that a star does to make sure that everyone else is connected. Joe's making everyone laughing, having fun. Royce gets paid, and Mike Conley's running around him doing dollar signs and all these other things. And they have a really good time. And winning, you know, the way they're winning right now certainly will do it. The other one that I think is important is the style of play. You know, when you start the year throwing 240 passes, and now you're throwing 330 passes, guys are a little bit more connected. And when Quinn Snyder's driving principle from the very moment that he took over the franchise was obvious unselfishness, I think that matters. I think it has a really big impact on the way the year goes on. And I think they had to work at it this year. You know, you don't end up down 40 in Toronto because everything's fine and you're just having a bad night, right? Like, things were clearly way off at one point this season. And some of it was just groupings and all sorts of stuff, but we were off. So I guess my point is it's definitely exists. There's a lot of, everyone involved deserves credit. The Miller family and the front office for signing the type of players they sign. Certainly it's all part of the mix. In no way do I want to dismiss any of it, but I also wanted to kind of point out that I think the players have worked at it. Like, I think it's work. It's no different than getting a jump shot. I think these guys have taken a concerted effort to try to make sure that they have this harmony inside their locker room, and it matters. And so I wanted to just kind of point that out, that it doesn't just happen. We talked yesterday how some things have taken place that I think are allowing for it, you know, to be better, that frankly, you know, let's get Donovan in his rightful spot, and allow him to be the leader, and then allow Mike to fold in under that, and Rudy to have his spot, and we'll see. And the expectation is both these guys get their All-Star bids coming up here, and hopefully that doesn't have it go the other way. Dal, we start our first of what's a really interesting stretch of games. So in our next 8 games, we will play Dallas twice. We will play Houston once. We will play Denver twice. We will play Portland twice. And we will play San Antonio. And then we'll play Miami. What's interesting about this is what we've talked about a lot. Is Dallas is the number one offensive team in the league. Houston is the number 5 offensive team in the league. San Antonio is the number 9. And Portland is the number 10. So we will be matched up against all top 10 offenses here for a little while. And let's see what we got. Let's see if they expose defensive weaknesses. Let's see if they are able to take advantage of our lack of size in the backcourt as Mike plays more. Let's see if they go after Boyan. Let's see what Chris in that grouping, Kristaps Porzingis, will pull Rudy out. Houston will certainly try to pull Rudy out. Miami has Myers, Leonard, and Kelly Olynyk, who will pull Rudy out, though Bam Adebayo is better and won't. LaMarcus Aldridge is now shooting threes in San Antonio. So it's a good, this is a good stretch defensively to find out what we can do. And that's, you know, Dallas brings in on Saturday, 3 o'clock start, 4th best shooting team, 3rd best team in the league at not turning it over, 5th best offensive rebounding team, 7th best team at getting the line, combines for one of the great offenses in the league. Ever. They're 2.5 points per 100 possessions better than the next best offense in the NBA. Now, they don't force turnovers. They don't defensive rebound particularly well. We don't usually take advantage of that. They're fairly good against the shot, and they're 17th in the league defensively. We're 6th in the league defensively right now, by the way. So right now, we are the, according to Cleaning the Glass, which eliminates blowout time, we are the 7th best offense and the 6th best defense and the 5th best team overall in differential. Dallas is the 4th best team. So Dallas statistically is better than us, other than win-loss. So it will be, this is a really interesting challenge. And I think it'll be interesting to see defense. I still am at the point where I want to know where we are defensively. The other one that's interesting about Dallas is they take the fewest amount of shots in the league at the rim, or at least the second fewest. They take the 5th most amount of corner threes, the highest amount of above the break threes, and they take 42% of their shots as threes. We are pretty good at denying that, right? That's one of the things we do well, because of Rudy. We're the 4th, 5th best team at not allowing you to shoot threes. We don't allow you to get to the rim either. So it'll be interesting to see if we can keep them off the 3-point line. Our defense naturally keeps you off the rim. Our defense is the number one location defense in the NBA. In other words, our shot distribution is better than anyone else's. And I'm a big, big, big believer in that. I think it's incredibly important, because if you go actually look at the shot distribution at kind of every position in the game, if you take out the top 3 rim defenses, then we're 4th at 32.6. And the worst rim defenses, if you take out like the top 4, is 38. It's a pretty small differential. The mid-range goes from 27 to about 32. All right, like it's 10 points. Oh, it's about a point every 10 shots on just defensive quality, where you're better off. Where you defend someone's a bigger deal. 37% of all threes go in compared to 34% or 33% at the bottom. It's, you know, that's 1 every 25 shots of a difference on above the break, on all 3-point shots. So maybe 1 or 2 a night at the most is because of your defense. So shot location to me is even more important. We're the number one shot location defense in the league. So pretty cool. Those are important metrics. Murdoch Hyundai is located at 4646 South State Street. They are also located in Linden and Logan. I might even see Jason Creech today over at the 4646 South State Street location. He's one of the salespeople that helps out Locked On listeners. First thing is, if you're in the market for a car, I would suggest including Hyundai. You can decide what you want, what the right look is. I'm driving the Palisade right now. It's pretty terrific. It's got great space inside, incredible comfort, drives beautifully. Every bell, every whistle, every safety feature basically drives itself while your hand is still on the wheel. Has the safety cruise control, has all the door features. Had something the other day that was really awesome that surprised me. I didn't know it did it. It's kind of like that's what it's been like. Oh, and the other one, you know, the heated steering wheel for old guys like me are pretty awesome. But that's what Hyundai does. It gives you every bell, every whistle imaginable for a price that other people cannot compete with. So add Hyundai to the list. If you're going to go take a second and go look at a Hyundai, feel free to give me an email at dlock09@gmail.com. We'll set you up. Before you go, you'll get VIP treatment when you get there. Spencer Wixom, who's a longtime listener to our show, you might have seen him do commercial real estate in town, actually just had a great experience over at Hyundai, Murdoch Hyundai. He shopped around a little bit. He went to Murdoch Hyundai. I screwed up. We were supposed to connect one day, and I couldn't make it over there. And then he went and shopped some other places and actually had a better experience over at Murdoch Hyundai, came back and just got himself a Palisade. So congratulations to Spencer and his family. They're going to love that. It's all brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Okay, I want to do something differently today with points gained. I want to look at where all the Western Conference contenders are. And the principle here is the belief that if you have a championship caliber team has all of their players above average, that all their players are above average. And that is kind of what the belief is in the system. And the reason for that is that if you force the ball out of James Harden's hands and it's going everywhere else is going to an average level player, then it's almost impossible for the defense to catch up. If you're forcing it out of James Harden's hands and it goes to a below average player, then every time you get it out of Harden's hands, you're whittling at Harden's success. By the way, Zion Williamson in one game has a points gained of 7.7. For those of you who are new, we usually have about three guys that are over three. It's exactly what we have right now. James Harden, Karl Anthony Towns, and Devin Booker. And then we usually have about seven guys that are over two. Anything over one's very impressive. And then you have your average and your kind of below average players. Here's the top 10 offensively influential players right now. Zion's one, but one game. James Harden, 3.7. Karl Anthony Towns, 3.7. And Devin Booker, 3.0 are the three players over three. Booker's doing well, only taking 21% of his shots as threes. Gobert is fourth at 2.9. Giannis at 2.6. Rashawn Holmes, 2.5. Dame Lillard at 2.3. Brandon Clark at 2.2 in Memphis. Norman Powell having a heck of a year in Toronto at 2.1. Anthony Davis, Mo Wagner, J.J. Redick, and Mitchell Robinson check out as the final players over two. Just because we play them, Luka Doncic is at 1.9, and Jonas Valanciunas also at 1.9. So let's look at the top Western Conference contenders and see if they fulfill the concept that you can avoid a below average possession. So the Jazz, other than Mike Conley, fill this perfectly. Rudy Gobert is at 2.9, Bojan Bogdanović 1.7, Joe Ingles 0.8, George Niang 0.7, Royce 0.6. This is really great. This is how you become the number one offense in the NBA. Tony Bradley's a 0.5, which is super. Jordan Clarkson, 0.3. Donovan, 0.2. That's really our rotation at this point. Mike Conley is at negative 1.6 because of his start. We'll check what he is his last 10 games. So the Jazz have done it. The Jazz have built a roster, assuming Mike Conley comes around, that has every single player above league average. You force the ball, we swing it around, you force the ball out of his hands, and we're getting an above average possession use on every possession, and that's how you become the number one offense in the NBA. So look at the Lakers. The Lakers, Anthony Davis is one at 2.1. Their bigs are mammoth. Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee are both over 1.5 and 1.1. Caldwell Pope is 0.6. This is interesting. LeBron's 0.6. Not anywhere near where he once was. 34% from three, 49% from the field still. 9% of his possessions are free throws. Danny Green is 0.2. Jared Dudley is not really in the rotations, 0.2. For all the Alex Caruso love, he's a minus 0.3. So is Quinn Cook. Avery Bradley's a minus 0.8. Kyle Kuzma's a minus 0.7. Rajon Rondo's a minus 0.9. That leads me to think that that team might be a little bit more playoff susceptible to defense than we've talked about. I think they're, you know, they're brilliant. They're brilliant, brilliant, brilliant defensively. They're so long and so tough. But right now they're the fourth best offense in the NBA. That doesn't feel like that should hold. They're great. They're 36-9. Their differential is 7.5, but that doesn't feel like that should hold. We just exposed some flaws there. Let's see what they do at the trade deadline. Clippers. No dominant offensive player, just a good collection. Montrezl Harrell, 1.1. Paul George, 1.1. Zubac, 0.9. Kawhi, 0.8. Landry Shamet, 0.5. Mo Harkless, 0.2. Lou Williams, negative 0.1. We'll call it even. Patrick Patterson, negative 0.2. Jamichael Green, negative 0.2. Patrick Beverley, minus 0.3. Rodney Magruder, minus 0.7. They have the sixth best offense in the NBA. Again, a little bit there that should, you know, they're going to make a move. They have a first-round draft pick and Mo Harkless's contract. They're going to make a move. But that's... that's a little bit, I don't know, that to me, that's a little surprising that those two teams have a decent amount of players that are on the floor that aren't great offensive players you can start fiddling with when you get into playoff game planning. Those two are surprising to me and I think exciting from our standpoint. And this is why this next 10-game stretch is important. Can we defend elite offensive teams? I don't know that, by the way. That's a bigger question to me about the Jazz than anything else. Let's look at the Nuggets, then we'll come back, look at Dallas and Houston before we do league-wide. Jokic is 1.0. Michael Porter, their young gun, is 0.8. He's a really good offensive player. 54% for the field, 51% from three. Body looks just amazing, way he plays. Plumlee, 0.6. He's injured, by the way. He'll be out for a while. Millsap, 0.5. And this is where it gets interesting. Torrey Grant, minus 0.5. P.J. Dozier, who's playing some, minus 0.5 because of Jamal Murray's injury. Malik Beasley, minus 0.6. Will Barton, minus 0.6. Monty Morris, minus 0.7. Jamal Murray, minus 0.7. Juan Hernan Gomez, minus 0.8. Gary Harris, minus 0.8. Denver's offense is 11th in the league. Denver's interesting. So how can Denver be 11th with all those negatives? Well, they are the seventh best team at taking care of the ball and the fourth best team at offensive rebounding. I wonder whether that still works in the playoffs. The Clippers, how are they able to do it? 17th in shooting. Denver's 21st in shooting. Denver is second in the league at offensive rebounding rate and second in the league in getting to the free throw line. Okay, again, it's a big issue. We're not very big. We're a very good defensive rebounding team. We're not very big. And then do you go to the foul line less in the playoffs? The Lakers are the fifth best shooting team in the league. We're the second best. Milwaukee's the best. They offensive rebound as well. It's really interesting. All of the good offensive teams in the West are surviving largely because they're high-level offensive rebounding teams. Now, it's a little misleading. You know, when we talk about the Lakers are third at 27%. We're 26th, so about the same. On the spectrum, there's a 4 percentage point difference. So one offensive rebound every 25 misses is what we're talking about. But if you take that away, take that one away, defensive rebound, a little more focus, grind at games in the playoffs, could be a problem. To me, we're a long way away from the playoffs, but that's an interesting thing to watch. Everyone talks about how the playoff changes. someone, me, is who I'm talking about, needs to do a little research on what that really is. I actually think that a lot of the conversation about playoffs changing is misguided. The brain is a muscle the same way anything else is for you. And LeBron James and Calm have known and know that. They think, you know, their phrase is the mind is the other muscle in your body. The Calm app is here to help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, perform at best. Move those thoughts away that are troublesome, those distractions, those things that are making you unhappy. Be able to float those and move those out. It takes effort. I've been doing the how to meditate, and I've been doing the 7 days of focus through Calm. You can head to calm.com/lockedon and get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to nature scenes LeBron loves, like rains and leaves, to help you sleep, sleep stories and meditations. You also have numerous meditation series that are available for you. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount at an annual membership of calm.com/lockedon. Unlock the content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedon. That's calm.com/lockedon. One of these days, I'll just share the silly stories about me and my brain trying to learn how to meditate. But it's been interesting to take that how-to class after doing a lot of meditation. So cool stuff. Go check it out. calm.com/lockedon. All right, we'll do the league. Let's do Houston and Dallas. Start with Dallas, who we play coming up. Number one offense in the NBA. Luka's 1.9. Dwight Powell out for the year, 1.6. That's a big hit. Didn't bother him last night. They outscored Portland 133-125. Their offensive rating was a 135 last night. And they won a game in which Portland shot 21 of 39 from three and lost. The Mavericks went 22 of 47, taking over half their shots as threes last night. The two teams combined for 43 three-pointers made last night. Porzingis was good last night. He had 20. Seth Curry started, had 17. Hardaway had 17. I mean, they're interesting because they're starting basically three shooting guards, small forward and Porzingis. And then DeLon Wright playing really well for him. They have Boban and J.J. Barea off the bench who didn't play last night. Maxi Kleber is awfully good. Justin Jackson out of North Carolina just does stuff, and Jalen Brunson's awfully good. They're good. Anyway, Maxi Kleber's a 1.0, Seth Curry 0.8. Dorian Finney-Smith, nice job by him, 0.5. Doesn't go to the line a lot, just shoots threes. 50% of his shots are threes. Hardaway's 0.3. J.J. Barea is 0.2. DeLon Wright's 0.1. Jalen Brunson's a minus 0.2. Justin Jackson's a minus 0.5. Not that big a deal. The interesting one is Porzingis. Porzingis is a minus 1.9. So Dallas will be interesting. Now, his floor spacing is so dramatic that he still, while his possessions might not be great, I'm guessing he still has a positive impact. Let's take a look. With Porzingis on the floor offensively, they are 4 points less good per 100 possessions than when he's on the floor. Interesting. Their defense is much better. 3.6 points. So Porzingis is not having a particularly positive impact right now on Dallas. And he's not having it offensively. They turn it over more and they don't shoot as well when he's on the floor. Now he gets going, they become even more potent. And let's take a look at Houston, final Western Conference contender. The numbers are telling us that the best offense will be the Jazz by the end of this. And that it is probably the most playoff-ready offense. Halfway before the season ends to talk about that. Houston, James Harden is 3.7, best in the NBA. Clint Capella, 1.6. Ben McLemore, what a story, taking 72% of his shots as threes. I was talking with, actually, I might have been listening to Hollinger and Duncan podcast. And Hollinger pointed out that he thinks Houston gets the maximum three-point shooting ability of every single one of their players. They just tell them to do nothing else. Just shoot threes. Take 1,000 threes every single day. If you're going to shoot threes, you take 1,000 every day. And then just shoot them. and you're completely free to shoot them. And he thinks it creates the maximum three-point shooting percentage of any player. So that Ben McLemore, who's been kind of a suboptimal three-point shooter his whole career, now is shooting 37% because that's the only thing he's being asked to do. It was an interesting take on Hollinger and Duncan podcast. He's a 35.6% career three-point shooter, and now he's shooting 37, which is kind of, you know, his point is that's what he can do. PJ Tucker's a 0.4. Chris Clemens is a 0.3. Tabo's struggling a little bit at negative 0.3. Austin Rivers, negative 0.6. Eric Gordon, minus 1.8. And Russell Westbrook, minus 2. That Russell Westbrook minus 2, I actually think is getting better. But that's a big impact. And for them offensively, it's hard. And this is a big playoff problem they're going to have. The offense is 7 points worse per 100 possessions when Russell Westbrook is on the floor. If somebody votes for him in the All-Star game, they're a freaking idiot who's not paying attention. I mean, seriously. They're 7 points per 100 possessions worse with Russell Westbrook on the floor. Their defense is actually way better. Interesting. Ben McLemore is their offensive key of all things when he's on the floor. Kind of surprising. Didn't expect to see that. All right, so that's a quick look at kind of all of it. The top 10 players I shared with you across the league. Let me just look at one thing. I just have a feeling like it begs for this right now. So is Milwaukee built for a championship? Giannis, 2.6. George Hill, 1.8. Chris Middleton, 1.8. Ilyasova, 0.8. Kyle Korver, 0.7. Bledsoe, 0.5. Robin Lopez, even. Wesley Matthews, minus 0.1. And Dante DiVincenzo, minus 0.1. So basically even. Pat Connaughton, negative 0.2. So the only negative guy is Brooke Lopez at minus 0.6. They're pretty close. Ours is Mike Conley. Theirs is Brooke Lopez. Pretty darn close. Hopefully that was interesting as we hit the halfway point or a little past it to look at those players and see how it plays out. It's reconfirming on the Jazz end of things of how good this team is offensively. And then the next thing I would say is it's a question now. It's why I think this next 10 games is so interesting to me. We don't play great defensive teams. We play great offensive teams. And we have been absolutely dominant if we take the ball out of the net. If we take the ball off the rim. 1.3 points per possession off a defensive rebound recently, which is an insanely high number. And now if we play a team that's good and forces us to take the ball out of the net, are we able to do the same? All right, let's look at the hottest players in the NBA. This is always kind of fun. They have to have played at least 7 of the last 10 games. Devin Booker, hottest player in the league at 4.7. DeMar DeRozan at 3.8. Derek Favors at 3.8, shooting 80% in his last 7 games. Dame Lillard at 3.6. Danilo Gallinari, who actually should be getting some All-Star buzz. Trae Young at 3.4. Rudy Gobert, 3.2. Bojan Bogdanovic, one of the 10 hottest players in the league at 3.1. Chris Middleton at 3.0. Domantas Sabonis at 2.7. J.J. Redick, Jackson Hayes, Dwight Powell, unfortunately. Bam Adebayo. Giannis Antetokounmpo, Taj Gibson, Jonas Valanciunas, Justin Holiday in Indiana, Jimmy Butler, Maxi Kleber's hot, Ben Simmons, Chris Paul, Nima Bjelica. He's a subtle little postseason pickup by somebody. Jokic, Zach LaVine, Enes Kanter, and Kawhi Leonard are all the guys over 2. Let's check who the coldest players in the league are. Jordan McRae in Washington. Caris LeVert. I've been on this one. His athleticism, his body, the fact he plays in a major media market leads to people being huge fans. His production does not match that. Jaylen Brown, minus 2.7. Interesting. A little slump for Jaylen Brown. Kent Bazemore, minus 2.7. Thibault minus 2.6, rookie in Philadelphia. Damon Lee, the Warriors. Frank Ntilikina minus 2.5. Andrew Wiggins still just doing his Andrew Wiggins things at minus 2.4. I wonder if they just benched him, what would happen? They'd get way better. Elfrid Payton minus 2.4. Julius Randle minus 2.4. Wow, the Knicks. Jeremy Lamb minus 2.4 in Indiana. Etuan Moore, who I've always loved, minus 2.3, just never goes to the line. So if he has any shooting weakness at all, it falls. Spencer Dinwiddie minus 2.2. Lonzo Ball minus 2.2. Draymond, Anthony Simons, Bobby Portis, Aaron Holiday in Indiana. Jacob Evans are the minus twos the rest of the way. Wesley Matthews is in a slump. Kyle Lowry's in a slump. Kyle Kuzma. Alec Burks, despite his 33-point night the other night, is a minus 1.6. And CJ McCollum is a minus 1.5 before he sprained his ankle. Ricky Rubio a minus 1.5 as well. All right, that wraps it up for you today. That's a little fun look at a lot of numbers, a lot of geeky stuff, but hopefully a good one. A good stretch for us. We'll see how it plays out. I've set the narrative of what we'll be talking about for the next 10 games. We'll see how the Jazz do. It's all on Locked On Jazz. Our Friday edition of Locked On NBA is Anthony Irwin and Adam Modest. They always have a really good time, so tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast, Locked On NBA.